Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Joe at RTE.ie in 1850 715 815 and 51551 Marshall. Robert Conlon Moore is in County Mayo. Robert, I was unaware of this, and maybe a lot of people are. What's the changes that the Minister for Public Expenditure is bringing in to protect the National Lottery?
He wants, the main change is that he wants to stop people from being able to do the lottery numbers through their apps with the bookies on their phones or on their laptops.
Explain that again. Explain that.
Well, at the moment, tonight now,
yeah,
I'll do maybe about 10 lines on the lotto, five numbers on each line, and I'll put 20 cents on each line. If I win in the Euro Million tonight, I get 100,000, and I'm happy with that. But
so,
they want to stop.
It's confusing to people, I think. You're not playing the official lottery. You're not giving money to the National Lottery.
I'm not going into a shop and playing in the shop.
You're betting with a bookie, and you're betting with the bookie on what numbers might come up. Is that correct?
That's right, yes.
And it's nothing to do with the National Lottery, except it's based on the numbers that come up in this draw.
Well, what's happening with the National Lottery is, he says, it's undermining the National Lottery. The sales in the National Lottery, I'd imagine, would be going down. So they're losing the sale. But the numbers I do, I cannot do. Well, I could do four numbers if I wanted, but the price difference is far greater doing it with the lottery in the shops.
Why do you spend your money in the bookies? It goes through doing the lotto number, so to speak. Is it cheaper? Are the odds better?
Well, the odds aren't better. Take tonight, for instance, in the Euro Millions.
Yeah.
If I go to the shop and buy a Euro with the plus, it costs $3.50 for the two lines.
Okay.
I will do 10 lines on the app. I'll put 20 cents on each line. And if I win, I'll get 100,000.
Stop using the word app, because people think the app is the lottery app. You're doing 10 lines in the bookies.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just...
It's on the phone. On the phone.
Okay. And your money is going to the bookies, and then if all the numbers come up, even if you got all the numbers correct, you wouldn't be winning the Euro Millions.
No, I will not. No, the most I will win with five numbers tonight
in the bookies
would be 100,000 euros.
Okay, so why do you not want to win the Euro Millions?
Because I don't think my chances of winning the Euro Millions are very good, and also, I like to play the lottery. The lottery is on four times a week. Yeah. The Euro Millions is on twice. The Irish lottery is on twice.
Yeah.
So when you add up the price of the Irish lottery, which I believe is €5 for three lines, twice a week, that's 10. And then you have twice a week for the Euro Million, which is 7. That's 17 a week. And I can play the games for an awful lot less. And if I do win, I get an awful lot less. But my chances of winning are very slim with the shops, with the system as set up by the lottery.
Okay. And apparently, statistically, if you buy a Euro Millions ticket this morning, statistically, because it's spread over hundreds of millions of people, terrible way of looking at stats, but statistically, you have a better chance of dying before the draw this evening than winning it.
I would probably agree, imagine so, yes.
So now the minister would say a certain proportion of the National Lottery goes to good causes.
Yeah, and he highlights two reasons. The first reason is that he wants to stop betting with the bookies because it undermines the lottery sales at the moment. And so that's one. The other concern of his, he says, is that it's too easy for people to get addicted to it. Now, if it is so easy, and he's concerned about people getting addicted to it, why do they allow the sales of scratch cards, which have become a massive problem in Ireland?
I think there's 27 or 28 different scratch cards on sale now?
It looks like that. When you stand at a counter in a store and you see the lines, it's unreal. And they are a serious problem.
And why are they addictive?
Well, I guess most people think that they're just going to get a scratch or get lucky and win, and sadly, very few do, you know.
But why do you think scratch cards are more addictive than playing the numbers?
Well, I don't play the scratch cards. I don't get involved with them.
Okay,
at all.
Well, this is the answer I was hoping you would give, because it was explained to me recently by an addiction counsellor why he believes scratch cards are more addictive. And this is the he said, if you buy a scratch card, you know, you have to get three of one or whatever, three stars. He said you will always get at least a fair proportion of two. You'll always just be one short on two symbols, if you follow me. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you'll get 2 5-grands, but you won't get a third 5-grand. You with me? You'll get 2 10-grands. Yeah, but you won't get...
So
you're saying, hey, I'll go again. Oh, I'll go. I'm so close. And that's why the scratch cards are the argument is addictive.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people are having serious problems with scratch cards. That they're too easy to get. And as you said, you always get two, but you never get the third. And it's set up. So if he's concerned about addiction, the National Lottery shouldn't be misleading people with the symbols on the scratch cards.
And remember, there was that scandal in the National Lottery about 18 months ago where nothing was ever done to them over. They discovered that the prizes which they advertised were never given out.
But how could they get away with that? I couldn't understand
that.
Well,
they did.
They had to be brought to court. They shouldn't be allowed to get away with it.
Well, that's the job of the regulator. But the National Lottery, okay, it's not owned by the Irish government now. It's owned primarily by a teacher's pension fund in Canada, I think, because we sold it to pay for the children's hospital. It looks like we pay for the gate of the children's hospital at this stage from the 450 million we got. But it's still a monopoly set up by the government. It still has that state licence.
Well, as you said, they sold it. It was making 20 million a year in profit on average every year. And then Inda Kenny and his people in government, they sold it to two different companies. I believe one was in England, and you said the other is in Canada.
Yeah,
but now we're being told that on post, the pension funds of on post have big investments in it, and some other company here in Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, if they want, I have no problem. I agree that the National Lottery gives a lot back to this country. And if they want, I think the minister should develop an app that can be downloaded onto the phone like I did with the bookies. Mm. And I will play my numbers with the National Lottery instead of the bookies, because I know the National Lottery gives a lot back. I have no problem with that.
Well, there is an app, but your point is, you say the odds in the bookies are better, and your chance, the winnings are better. The price is cheaper. Hang on, Robert. Sorry, you're confusing me now. The price in the bookies is cheaper than buying a lotto ticket or doing the numbers, and the chances of winning are greater through the bookies.
Yes.
That's your point. Okay,
yes.
Stay there for a second, now, Robert. Just stay there for a moment.
Okay.
Liz is in Offaly. Joe at RT.ie. Your point, Liz.
Hiya, Joe. I'm just after hearing about this with the bookies being done away with. And
you can't use the National Lottery numbers. The bookies can't use the National Lottery results as a way of them selling a product.
All right.
Yeah, that's the proposal. As Robert explained, you can go into a bookies and bet on the National Lottery, but it's a different... You're betting on the numbers that might come up tonight, but none of it goes to the National Lottery. Now, do you bet through the bookies?
I do, yeah.
Do you bet on the National Lottery to the bookies?
I do, and I do the Daily Millions, and I bet on the Euro Millions.
Through the bookies?
In the bookies. Through the bookies,
and you're aware that none of that money is going to the National Lottery?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what the Minister, Michael McGrath, the Public Expenditure Minister, he's called for a ban on private bookmakers taking bets on the numbers in the country's National Lottery. Sounds like North Korea. But that's what he said. So, well, why won't you buy a lotto ticket?
Well, the reason, though, I wouldn't buy a lotto ticket is you have to turn around and spend €3 to get 2 lines.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And you can pick 4 numbers in the bookcase.
Right.
And put 5 cents on it if you wanted.
Oh, can you? Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So if you do the national lottery and you put 5 cents on the three draws, that's 15 cents. So look at how many four numbers you can pick for €3.
Okay, it's cheaper and the odds are better.
It's cheaper. And if your four numbers comes up, you get €75.
Yeah.
And if your numbers come up in the national lottery, so look what to pay.
Well, if you win the lotto, I know it's very seldom, but anyway.
Dream on, Joe.
Game on. Okay, Liz, it looks like game on from our call. Stay there, Liz. But Liz, remember, if you win the lotto, it'll be like the odds, you can get an aqua park put into your block of flats in Charlemagne Street or whatever. And you have the kids swinging out the window. Anyway, that fella didn't win the lotto. It's an ad. David McGrath, sorry.
I'll be honest with you. I would be quite happy with my four numbers coming up. We'd say maybe twice a week. I have €150 in my pocket. Let me go off on the train down to Galway. Have a day out.
Okay. Take your point. Stay there, David McGrath. David. You spotted this. Philip Ryan wrote about it in the Sunday Independent.
Yes, I was reading in the Sunday Independent the other night. But I think, Joe, that the reason the people do the lotto in the shops, it's the only reason they think they do it, is that they have a dream of becoming a millionaire.
Yeah.
They probably know very well they're not going to win much else. But I think that's the reason they do it in the shops. However, I've been doing the numbers in the bookies for a good many years, and I won somewhere in the region of 2,000 or 3,000 over the past 10 years. Now, the thing is, if I do the lotto in the shop next Saturday night and I get three numbers, I'll probably get a scratch card, which is not good. And if I get four numbers up, which is very hard to get four numbers up in a row on Saturday night, you might get €10. If I go into the bookies and put €1 on three numbers, the odds are 330 to 1. So I get €331 back from the euro if three numbers come out. And I remember a good couple of years ago, I was in the hospital, the lottery came on of a Wednesday night, and I had the same numbers done in all the draws. And funny enough, my number came up in two of the draws, so I won twice on the same night. I think I won the wrong.
But you have statistically done it or actuarially done it? But you say you win more on the lotto by doing it by playing with the bookies.
Yes, I'll tell you why. And I'll tell you why, Joe. Because if you happen to go back and study the numbers that came out just say over the past 3 weeks, right? Look at all there are certain numbers that come out a lot more often.
I won't go into that. But what about the? Now we know that lotto products sell exponentially more in poorer areas, working class areas, than they do in well off areas. You only have to look at where the National Lottery advertises. It doesn't advertise in the Irish Times. It advertises, and today be a big day, it does wrap arounds on the Mirror, the Star, and the Sun. So that's a certain demographic they're going after. So the lottery, in many ways, is a transfer from poor areas into well-off areas, especially if they're represented by a government minister. But that's a separate argument. Where is Mary Kinsler? What have you spotted now?
Joe, yes. Good afternoon. Thanks
yes.
for having me on.
Okay.
I play telebingo now that I'm working from home.
Right.
And we play a couple of times a week since the pandemic started last year.
All right.
Declan calls out the numbers, and each set of numbers, each 15 numbers, corresponds with the B, the I, the N, the G, and the O. So 1 to 15 is B10, let's say. And then it goes on, right? But yesterday, Declan was calling out the numbers and he called out N59. Now, 59 actually corresponds with the G in the bingo. So that was a major mistake there as far as I'm concerned. And I am not saying anything about Declan and how he made the mistake. My gripe is, KPMG oversees this bingo at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, but hang on, Mary, between KPMG, N59, G59, I haven't a clue what you're talking about. You could be giving me the nuclear codes that Joe Biden has in his briefcase for all I know. I could be launching missiles into St. Petersburg with those numbers.
What is
it? I did. I played bingo in the Gala in Ballyfermot, N59.
And I played in the Tivoli down in Francis Street.
Okay. And what is... Okay, you say yesterday 59 came out.
Yes.
The ball, the
and
number.
Each,
on the ball.
Each 15 numbers,
yeah.
1 to 15 corresponds to B. 16 to 30 corresponds to I. And Declan calls out I 16 or whatever it is.
Okay.
It's the number. So each number corresponds to a letter in the bingo.
Okay.
And when he's calling it out yesterday, he called out N59. But that group of numbers from 46 to 60 corresponds to the letter G.
Yeah.
So he should have called out G59.
Yeah. And did it make any difference to the game?
That's not the point, Joe.
Okay,
my point is that the company KPMG, who oversees 101 things in this country,
are paid
by the lottery to oversee this draw. And there was a major gap yesterday. It wasn't spotted, and the bingo went to air at 12:45.
And you spotted it?
Well, that was at 6 o'clock this morning because I was busy yesterday and I didn't get to play yesterday. And I had it on my iPad. And I said, he's after saying that wrong. And I let it play out and I went back over it a second time. And sure enough, it was the wrong letter for the number. Now, that's a major... And I want to know, is KPMG willing to give up their fee for whatever it is? Yesterday, because it was a job badly done.
And who spotted this mistake? Was it just yourself and Liz? Did you spot it as well?
I did, Joe. Yeah.
Did you ring?
I didn't bother because I usually, if he does that, he'll kind of re-correct himself. But he didn't correct himself yesterday.
And Declan's been doing it for years.
Years.
Yeah.
And he's very good at it. Following yesterday, this is a statement from the National Lottery. Hang on, Mary, we're going legal here.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
You
obviously did honours maths in college, did you, Mary?
I've been involved in numbers my whole life since I was 16. So
what do you mean?
But I mean, it didn't take a genius to see that the wrong letter was called.
What do you mean you're involved
number.
In numbers since you were 16?
Wages, accounts, and things
that.
I like numbers.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I like numbers.
And did you
but
get qualified?
That didn't take a genius or a mathematician.
I know, but you're brilliant
at that.
I still can't understand how the game works. But did you get a degree in accountancy or did you go on?
No, I didn't. I worked at it for years. Because I love it. I love numbers.
You're brilliant. Oh, no, you're brilliant, Derek. Brilliant. Okay, following yesterday's telly bingo.
Yes.
We confirm, well spotted, Mary, that our presenter stated N59 instead of G59. But now they see they're blaming Declan. While our presenter did call an incorrect letter bowled by Declan, the number is correct and this had no impact on the results of the telly bingo draw. We are very sorry for any confusion that was caused. The letters are only included as a presentation aid to indicate to players as to which column each number is drawn from.
Yes.
The presenter clearly stated that the number 59 was drawn and it was also correctly displayed on the show's graphics. All our draws and games are independently observed by KPMG.
Exactly. That's exactly the point I'm making. It's observed by... Were you too busy down at the Debenhams protest to do the lotto yesterday?
Okay.
I think...
I come in for a minute, please?
Yes, who's that?
Robert.
Robert in Mayo, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm just hoping that Michael McGrath, the Minister for Expenditure, might bring in an app and allow us to do our bets as we have been doing them with the bookies. If you want to put 5 cents on 3 numbers... If you want to put a euro on 4 numbers, if you want to put 2 euros on 5 numbers, do it that way. I'll gladly download the app.
I think you're confusing the matter, if you don't mind me saying, Robert. If the minister bans anyone outside the national lottery from using national lottery results as a form of a revenue earner, like bookies. Don't a lot of sports clubs have draws based around, they run it themselves, but it's based around the lotto numbers that are drawn out nationally. Do you follow me? Is that not...
That's right.
Yeah, what he wants to do is stop people from betting with the bookies on the lottery numbers. But let the National Lottery bring out their own app and they we can play with them.
No, they have an app, Robert. They're the most sophisticated.
Can you
do three numbers for 5 cents on it?
No, you can't. You're talking about the price, the app.
Mary.
Yes, Joe.
Who are you giving instructions to there?
Just the gas man.
What are you saying to him?
Joe, I'm not telling you.
So you know you're talking on national radio. To the gas man. What's the gas man doing in your house?
No, Joe, we're not going there now.
Okay.
sorry.
Okay, I'll go back to Robert. They have an app, so forget about the app. You're saying...
saying that they have an app, but you can't bet as you do with the bookies.
I know, you can't
they
do it at that price.
They need to allow people to be able to do three numbers for 5 cents, four numbers for 10 cents, and five numbers for one or two euros.
You say they should have
cheaper... That's what the problem is.
Yeah, but they say... you're saying they should have cheaper products.
That's right. Allow us to play as the bookies do. And I will play with the National Lottery instead of the bookie. Because I know the National Lottery is putting money back into the country in charitable causes, and I would rather play with the National Lottery.
If it was cheaper.
Yes.
But it's not going to be cheaper.
Well, maybe he should think about setting it up in that forum.
Well, it's too late now. We don't own it.
if he... How can he stop the bookies from playing it?
Why is Michael McGrath so concerned about it?
Because we don't own it, but we still have... It's a monopoly. It's a monopoly granted by the state. They've given the National Lottery this monopoly. They can only sell... They're the ones that can only do certain products. They only sell certain products. And now they're trying to copper fasten the monopoly by saying no one can use the results of the National Lottery for their own private or personal gain, be it a sports club fundraising, I presume this is what he means, but he's talking about bookies, because everyone thinks bookies are not just on the horse's back, they're on the pig's back in Ireland. So it's a good old target, isn't it? The bookies are making money out of the National Lottery, so let's stop the bookies selling the products. But the punters are saying the bookies' product is cheaper and the odds are better. Una Heaton, 1850-715-815, is in Limerick, if my memory serves me correctly. the Michael McGrath ban.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. It's a choice that people can make. And also the National Lottery advertise weekly or daily about National Lottery and you could be a millionaire. So they're talking about gambling and not have advertising. Why can the National Lottery have advertising?
Because I've
done the bookies every time, and I think it's great, because for a euro, as your man said earlier, you can actually 300 euros if you actually your three numbers come up.
I know. So the argument in favour of banning the bookies is that you redirect the money into the lottery and that money can...
As that gentleman said earlier, if you could do it for less than a euro, you know, sort of for 20 cents or whatever, you get far more people going on to the National Lottery to help the national cause and charities. But I think it makes it too expensive for people.
Well, maybe he'd be better. Well, maybe the government would be better off taxing gambling more, including in the book. There's no tax on gambling. Is there still 1%?
I think that's gone. Yeah, well, they could bring
incredible.
That
back. It's incredible.
No problem there. I mean, it's a big...
Well, there was a problem. The industry opposed it vehemently.
Well, they're
vehemently.
A very wealthy industry. But I just feel that... I feel that it's all to do with money and greed. Because, I mean, you should be allowed to do whatever you want with your own money as such. Besides crazy gambling, of course. But 10 cents, I mean, for three numbers in the lottery could be coming up, you know, the National Lottery.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense because more people would enter the National Lottery then. Because, you know, probably we had two lines one time of five numbers on each line. And we bought a washing machine. I mean, that's crazy.
Okay.
But if you have five numbers in the bookies, you get a million.
The problem here, Joe, also is you're talking about people's affordability.
Yeah, I know.
So
that,
you're looking at people like myself on the lower end of the scale, like, and want to play the lottery. And if they do away with it through the bookies, I will not start playing it in the shop. It's too expensive for me.
Noel Flood is in Wexford. Noel.
How are you, Joe?
Good. Your point, please.
Well, I don't think it's anything to do with Michael McGrath what other people do with their money. We don't tell him what to do with his money, do we?
Okay.
You know, I mean, I work 6 days a week for my money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm entitled to do what I like with my money.
And you give a fair proportion of your income to the state?
Exactly, yeah. Like, I won 800 quid in the bookies the other night, on Wednesday night.
Oh, did you? Good man. Just now, tell us how you won the 800 quid.
I 20 quid on two numbers up on the Irish lottery. In the bookies.
So you went in the bookies, you put down...
No, I didn't. I did it online, Joe.
Okay, so what did you bet? You can't go in the bookies.
I 20 quid on 12 and 18 out of seven numbers, Joe.
Give him the numbers, which one you pick.
12 and 18 I done. And I done.
Okay, we all do those for now.
12 is the bonus number.
So if one number had come up, would you have won anything?
No, I wouldn't have won anything, Joe.
But if two numbers come up,
I got 800 quid.
Wow.
Now, I'm after getting 4 or 5 good holidays out of the numbers in the bookies, Joe. They're between the Euro Millions and the Irish.
And before that, did you play the lotto directly?
Oh, yeah. I played
did
the
you ever win on that?
The most I ever won on the Irish lottery ticket was 100 quid.
And what's the most you've ever won through the bookies?
3 grand.
Betting on the lotto numbers. But
on
if. But is
can
it,
I just say there.
Yeah, who's that, Mary?
You can do a patent, Una. You can do a patent on the bookies on three numbers that if one comes in, two comes in, three comes in, that's
you can,
rather than just do two numbers.
That's the best way to do the numbers.
I've done that a few times.
But surely if they ban non-lottery companies like sports clubs, bet bookies, if they ban them from using the Irish lottery numbers, surely they just use the English lottery numbers?
Absolutely, or make up their own numbers.
But you see, the argument, they're saying...
Who draws in the bookies every day, John? Of their own 49 numbers. They're bookies numbers. You can do those any given day in the bookies.
Yeah.
They're
apparently
numbers.
this proposal has come from Fine Gael Centre, Barry Ward. He said the bookmakers should not be allowed profiteer from the national lottery.
But the government should.
By the way, out of every euro you spend on the lotto through the national lottery, how much do you think goes to good causes? Noel, have a guess.
I'd say minimal, John. Very minimal.
No, give me a figure.
10%.
No, yeah, not even 10%. I'd say about 3%.
Okay. Una, what do you say?
10%.
Mary, what do you say?
About 10%, I think, yeah.
And Robert Condon Moore, what do you say?
I'll go for 5%. I have no idea.
No, you see, you're all wrong. It's 28%. 28 cent of every euro on the national lottery goes to good causes.
That's fantastic.
Well, that's good to hear. That's great.
Yes.
And did you know there's a maximum spend of 90 euro a day is permitted? In the lotto. No,
okay, how much goes on prizes, Joe?
Yeah, I know, that's a different...
Joe, 28% on to good causes. How much goes on prizes?
And you know, if a bookie... If this law comes in and a bookie does keep going what they're all doing, which is using the lotto numbers as a product, they can be fined up to 100,000 euro.
Well, maybe instead of a punter, Joe, I should put myself down as a good cause.
That's true. Put yourself down as a...
No,
put yourself down as a lost cause at this stage, for God's sake. Hang on.
Well, hey, Joe, there's a lot of people that were doing that a long time ago.
Yeah, I know.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul, with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Una Heaton, are people gambling more during the pandemic?
Gee, I don't know. I would know that, but I mean, you have to have an account and stuff. But I mean, we don't know.
Robert, do you have an app, a bookie? You do have a bookies app.
I have Bond Sports. I do.
Okay, and Noel, what's your app?
I have Bond Sports as well, Joe, but normally I'd only do a bit of a Saturday, Joe. Saturday or Sunday when I could watch the racing.
Okay. And then during games, you can bet.
But I don't bet on football. Football is the favorite.
Give you a tip for tonight, so for the Euro Millions.
I'll give you two numbers.
29. I give you two. 29 and 9.
Yeah, why did you... I don't want to get into a betting office here.
I tell you they're very numbers.
Write these down now, Joe. Write these
see,
down.
The last time I was in a bookies, it was Kilmartin's, I think it was called. That's how long ago.
Come on, Joe. That was in black and white now. Come on.
I know it was. Is Mary still there? Is Mary back? Mary, she's dealing with
the
gas, man.
Friday, is it true?
It's sorting into that, okay. Patricia, stay there, everybody. Patricia's it's about money, but it's a different topic. Patricia, apologies. Robert, when did you get the app?
I got the app after this COVID.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. When did you get the app?
Yeah, the same time, Joe.
After
the very first lockdown,
a lot of gamblers have moved to the app. I'm not saying you're heavy gamblers by any stretch. Okay, Mary, did you become addicted to Teddy Bingo during the pandemic? That's what I'm asking people.
Yes, I would say we did a little bit. Yeah, I would say so. Yeah,
and have you?
And again, what those people are saying, Joe, the prizes for the smaller prizes are very poor. Like, they're like a fiver for a lion or like 9 quid for four corners.
Mm.
And you might get that once in 2 months, you know what I mean? So, and then they drag out, like the way they roll over and roll over and roll over, they drag out the jackpot over weeks.
Okay,
it could go on for 2 or 3 weeks, and they add on another number, and they add on another 5,000, and it's exactly like the lotto is done, and they drag it out, and people are saying, "Oh God, the jackpot has gone up to this, that, and the other. I'll play it again." You know,
I'll give you for instance, George.
I got
three numbers in the daily meeting the other night in the first draw, and I got a €2 scratch card. Now tonight, if I got three numbers in the Euro Millions with 50 cents on it, I get $7,500.
Cheating.
Do you know?
Okay, and apparently online gambling. Mary, do you have an app?
No, I don't. Okay. No, I don't. But I'll tell you, Joe, two people on my estate, and I won't say which estate I live in.
Okay.
I live in Talla, and two people that I know personally did win the lottery.
Okay.
So, I mean, I do know people that have won it, and I probably know three or four.
Online gambling apparently has grown during the pandemic.
Mm.
In other words, everyone, two of the lads there have got the app during the lockdown. There's a website called gamblingcare.ie, which helps those with gambling problems. And that has seen a 180% increase in visits to gambling care, people looking for help or inquiring about help over recent months. So I know none of you are problem gamblers, thank God. Patricia, just stick with money for a sec. Patricia, Mary Kinsler, by the way, is our numbers expert, Patricia. But I don't know if she can help you on this one. Go ahead, Patricia.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. What happened?
Nice to talk to you.
Likewise.
Yes, I know I mentioned niece, but it's actually my cousin. I sent money yesterday in a card, and then put it into a bubbly envelope. And she got it this morning. I sent it to her. She helps out my disability cousin, my cousin that's on disability, and I wanted to buy her some food. So she received the envelope, the bubbly envelope this morning, and it was opened, and the money was gone.
Oh, God.
And she rang the head office, which I presume is
GPO. In Dublin, yeah.
And they're looking into it and took her address and name and whatever and said they would investigate it. But they said that the postman should have knocked on her door and got her to sign to say that the envelope was open when it was delivered. And he didn't do that. And I, God almighty, I think it's a disgrace that...
No, plus take anyone interfering with the mail very seriously.
I know. And I'm on a pension
How would anyone have known that there was money in the envelope?
It was in a double envelope. I put it into an envelope in a card, sealed, and then I put it into a sealed, bubbly envelope, thinking it would be safe, you know?
And what did it feel like? Did it feel like there was a book inside it, or did it feel like there was a...
No, it was just like a small envelope, you know, like that you put a small card into. Not a big card, a small card.
Well, we can ask people...
Joe, could I just say that for future reference for that lady?
Yeah.
You get these envelopes in the post office now. They're money envelopes.
Okay.
They can't even be seen through a scanner.
Oh.
You can actually get them in the post office.
But if there's a money envelope written on it, isn't it? Is that a bit of a giveaway now?
You actually put it into the envelope that you're using. But this is a tin foil envelope.
So what does that prevent?
If the money is going through a scanner, say, in whatever... In the post office unit, can't be seen.
All right.
But surely they're not. Surely it's not being interfered with in the postal system.
Well, I'm not suggesting that is Joe, but you can get those envelopes if you ask the girl in the post office.
Yeah, I sent it down the country.
You can put the cash in this envelope and put it into your regular envelope then.
All right.
Yeah. Well, again.
And do you get that in the post office?
Yeah, you can get it in the post office,
All right. And what do you ask for?
No, just tell them that you're going to send cash or whatever.
Don't on post recommend that you don't send cash?
Yeah, well...
I've never done it before, and my cousin has got so much mail over the years, with her kids ordering stuff and everything, and she's never had a problem.
Well, that's very good. Well, that's the general reputation the post have, which is fantastic, I think.
Absolutely shocked this morning.
That's
now,
a pity
and
now,
the money is gone.
And there's no other way of transferring 20 quid, is there?
No.
Can't you do it if you have a Revolut card?
Maybe.
I know, but that's different.
Yeah. Difficult.
Okay.
I was just ringing Joe to warn people.
Okay, well,
you're also,
thank you for that, Patricia. You're also asking your listeners, as you say, it's never happened before, so hopefully it's not a problem. But given us so many, if it is, we'll soon find out. Okay.
Okay, Joe.
Thanks,
thank
Patricia.
You. Love your show.
Yeah, thank you. Very kind. Robert Condon, Moore, Una Heaton, David, and Liz, who started. Okay, and Mary Kinsey. The gas man gone, Mary.
Yeah, Chef Joe.
Yeah, okay. Did he fix it?
Happy on his way.
Did he fix it? Did he empty the meter under the stairs?
Sure didn't you interrupt the whole proceedings?
He what?
I said, sure didn't you interrupt the whole proceedings?
She rang me. I don't even know your number. I don't even know where you live. And come here, did he empty the meter under the stairs?
Under
and
the
count
stairs,
it,
all
count,
the shillings. He got every
that?
Last shilling, yeah.
Do you remember
every last
that?
Shilling. I do.
Our kids, back in the day, We paid for a lot of things. We had a slot television,
yes.
A slot electricity.
Oh, with colour, though. We used to have a colour screen on it, pink one or a blue one. Had you not got one of them?
No, the thing, the sweet paper you put over the screen to try and pretend that it was a... Sure, my father used to pull the curtains when he'd hear the Mr. Whippy fan, so we wouldn't hear it. You know what I mean? But anyway, for young people to remember that there used to be a meter under the stairs.
Yeah.
And you put single shillings, five p they were worth, which is about
12 pence.
And you put the single shillings, and once a month, a man in glasses and a bald head
with a book
and a frayed jacket with the leather things on the elbows, would come in, and you'd be very reverential to him. He would take his keys, open the meter, carry the box into your dining room table if you're lucky to have one, or in our case, a tea chest or whatever. Pour it out on the tea chest,
and then
it was magic watching his finger
that
and
was
his signature.
Fine, but
and he'd stack them, and he'd stack them, and then if the amount in the meter exceeded the gas bill, you were given back. It was not you, your mother was given back a few single shillings. Isn't that right?
That's all very fine now. If the lock wasn't gone off that contraption, and you'd use the one single shilling in and out, and then he'd tell you, you owe him £3.10 or whatever you don't.
Remember, remember, Mary, remind people that back in the day, houses used to be broke. You say
that's
someone's
right.
house.
That's
and what was robbed? What was robbed? Yeah,
the gas meter.
Can you believe
the gas meter. Always
can you believe
meter,
it? Okay.
Yeah.
And did you have the ESB meter?
When?
But did, remember?
Well,
you, yeah, there was a 2 bob. That took 2 bob. We had
two
one
bob.
Of them.
I can't
and then
that,
a meter in the back of the telly.
Yes, yes.
To keep the telly going. And basically, and you'd be watching Bat Masterson or whatever. And
yes, Bat Masterson or Gringle.
Yeah, you'd gradually. You'd gradually see the picture disappear, the fugitive for a crime you did not commit, and you'd be looking at it. You'd be the picture would disappear down this little white hole into the, and you'd be scrambling around the house to see it. Anyone, your mother.
And we always had the national anthem when the telly.
But we were
that night
at least, Marty. We were happy. We were happy back in the day.
Yeah.
Back in the rare old times, I remember. Okay, Marty, will you go back and get your work done, whatever
I
am so annoyed that you're brilliant with numbers. You could have been head of Anglo-Irish Bank and saved the country.
If
people like you had got an education.
But back in the 60s, Joe, we were lucky to get through secondary school.
Now, you were
one of the posh ones. You went to college, you know.
So
but I mean, I was lucky to get through secondary school. So, yeah.
And would you,
would you have liked... I didn't do too bad.
You did brilliantly.
All in all. I'm happy enough with life.
But
you know,
see,
I've
remember,
life,
Mary,
thank God.
If people like you had got the chance and the opportunity, which you didn't, to go on to third level, you could have become an accountant, a chartered accountant. You would have been well able for it.
I would have preferred to be a solicitor.
Yeah, but that's... but see, I would have preferred if you'd gone on and we could have... You were head of Anglo-Irish Bank and we would have saved the country 64 billion that they robbed on us. Anyway, mind yourself.
True, or I could have got a job at KPMG and not been been asleep on the job yesterday.
Okay, you mind
Good
yourself.
Luck.
See
luck.
You later. 51551, there's five numbers, watch your hand.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe with RTE.ie. Apparently it's already 17 degrees in parts of the country, and that's the forecast for the weekend as we approach May Day and the May Bank holiday on Monday week. Not that anyone's allowed to go anywhere, but anyway, Maria, you're dreading the good weather.
I'm dreading it.
Why?
I live in an apartment complex in Dublin too, just beyond the canal there, Ranelagh.
Right.
And we have, every time the sun comes out, the drinkers come out onto the canal. There's no public toilets around, so they come down to our complex, urinating people's doorways.
They're drinking, that's the problem. It doesn't matter whether they're drinking soft drinks, tea, coffee, Lucozade, Ovaltine, or a Heineken or Bud or whatever. When you drink, you need to pee.
Yeah.
They're peeing on your doorstep.
Not on mine, on six residents that live on the ground floor.
Ah, yeah.
You know, and it's calling on the residents to go out every evening when the sun is out to patrol the area to refuse these people to come in and use the walkways where children are playing. They also, you know, drug take and they'd have sex openly in the evening time in and around complex. Children, you know, have little pitch area that looks out onto that walkway. We've called on DCC through numerous emails to ask them to, would they give us a gate? And they said no because of fire issues. We have another entrance that a fire truck could come in.
Yeah, that's
important. You know, there's two entrances.
Yeah.
And we're out there every night.
And you say, so will you be, will some people be patrolling this evening?
Oh, yes, yes.
And but
yes.
Say they see somebody about to pee, what do they do?
We just say to them, you know, if they go to come into the complex, we're at the entrance, and we say, sorry, there's no toilets up here.
And where do they go to pee?
They go up the
walkway. I know that that's not your problem, said you, but...
You know, but it's not nice. You know, the shrubbery there and the smell of it when you're walking by of urine and maybe a number two and, you know, a bit of, you know, the could be syringes there sometimes. And, you know, so we sort of refuse them and we say, sorry, you know, this isn't a public toilet.
And when people say, well, we've nowhere to go, like... What's
well, they sort of abuse us back, you know, how dare we, you know, refuse them to come in here, you know, which we say back to them, you know, would you like somebody to piss in your elderly mother's garden?
I know.
You know, the amount of abuse that, you know, when if 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock we're there when the sun is out, you know.
So you'd be sitting out there this evening on pee patrol?
Standing, yeah. And we've been on to DCC and they've said no, they will put denser shrubbery, bigger CCTV signs, and what else did they say? They'll put individual railings around the 6 duplexes front without consulting. You know, they haven't met with us. We've asked to sit down and come up with a plan between the guards, because we've had a racial abuse on one family, you know, that us residents have had to call the guards 3 times. We've asked the guards to patrol the area because there's not a guard seen in the area until 10 o'clock till the off licence close. They moved them down from the canal. Then they're standing, you know, on the street here. There's elderly people here trying to sleep. It's just a lot of problems.
And tell me about the family that's been racially abused. That's awful.
Yeah, like there's a family that live around the back of the complex and he was driving in with his shopping and there was 3 youths sitting there drinking and their bikes were in the middle of the driveway and he asked them to move, that he didn't want to, you know, tip off one of the bikes. And he was told... I wouldn't even mention, Joe, what he was called.
Okay, don't. That's awful.
But
you all, everyone stood together behind that family.
We did, and we rang the police.
Well done.
We went in, and we said we'll stay an extra hour just in case they come back, which they did.
Yeah.
And they threw a rock at his window. Now, luckily, it didn't break, but there's 3 young children in there. So, you know, we rang the police again, and I said, you need to get up here straight away. So they were up in 10 minutes. They took himself and 2 other residents' phone numbers because we've been asking, you know, to have communication with a community guard. So he took our 3 numbers never got back to us. We've emailed them in the community section of the guards. You know, they're not answering, you know, and we just feel left behind here because we did go through a regeneration and Dublin City Council promised us the moon and stars. We'd be living in a state-of-the-art, top-security complex.
Mm.
And this isn't the issue. And we just feel we're being fobbed off, not listened to, you know, now that we're here and they sold off the big land that we lived in Tom Kelly Road, which was quite big, with a lot of open and play areas for the children, you know, and this is what we're left to live in. It's depressing. It's, you know, it's annoying. Everybody is anxious, you know, they're worried for their children being around when people come in.
Well, don't, you know. The only thing, Maria, don't get into any, like, if these people are looking to pee, unfortunately, they have drink on them, alcoholic drink.
Yeah.
So just be careful, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, no, I do. You know, we don't get into any sort of confrontation.
Now, you have every right to stop people peeing on your doorstep.
Yeah.
But just yeah. anyway, okay. Okay, well,
you know, it's not safe even for us to be down there, but, yeah. you know, this is a complex.
I know, and you're looking after, great.
You know, and the children and the elderly.
Maria, what's the weather like there now? I'm chained to a radiator here in the basement of RTE. What's it like outside?
Well, there's a bit of a breeze in the air, but, you know, it's Friday evening. It is in the sun, yeah, you know. Okay. But once it's dry, you know, the canal does be...
Oh, I know that. It's a beautiful spot. The swans and all there. It's gorgeous.
It's worse now with
but there's
the
no toilets.
Being closed.
There's no toilets.
Yeah.
That's your point, yeah.
Yeah.
No public toilets. Okay, Maria, mind yourself, and I hope the weekend goes okay. Thanks, Maria.
Thanks.
Back to Unpost. Now, remember, there are millions of envelopes and packages posted every single day through the postal system. But, Dorothy, what happened? It's an unusual item that went missing.
It is an unusual item, yes. Joe. It's their chickens.
Their chickens?
Their chickens. And the poor chickens must be starving somewhere. They were knitted chickens that my mum, who's 90, knit for her great-grandson for Easter. And they're these little chickens that you can put a Cadbury's cream egg in.
Ah, what a lovely idea.
They're a nice idea, and I'm sure a lot of people who actually do knitting would know what I'm talking about. They're little chickens, and they've got their beak and their eyes and a stuffed head, and then you stick the cream egg inside it, and they're lovely. But Mum knit them for Donica for Easter and posted them from Bray down to us in Middleton in County Cork.
Okay.
And they've never appeared.
They never came home to roost.
And she used to text me, you know, had the chickens arrived, and then she'd say the next day, I'm sure they're starving.
Was it in a proper package? Like the package wouldn't have torn in a machine or?
No, I wouldn't think so. My mum's a great recycler, and it was an envelope that would have been a bubble wrap envelope that would have been sent to her.
So the chickens weren't cheap to post, were they?
They weren't cheap to post at all. And
Whoever did that now.
Oh, that's a good one.
Stay there, Dorothy. I don't want to ruffle anyone else's feathers before I move on. Brendan Chapman, Brendan.
Hello, Joe.
Confess.
Pardon?
Confess. 1960.
Well, approximately.
Yeah.
We hired a radio. And I've never heard of anybody else hiring a radio.
You hired a radio?
Yes.
And what, you paid for it weekly?
I think it was probably weekly indeed.
Yeah. And you weren't buying the radio. You didn't end up...
No. That would have been a luxury.
Wow.
I mean, this is just extraordinary when you think of today.
Try and explain that to your kids today.
I know. It's well, absolutely amazing.
Well, even, try and explain... This happened in our household recently, and I asked one of my children, the internet was gone or whatever, so Alexa was down, and I asked one of my children to get RTE on a transistor. They hadn't a clue what to do. They didn't know how you moved the dial.
Indeed. It's extraordinary.
So we had a pilot radio that was up on, it was our television, it was up on a shelf, and there was lovely braiding from Guineys and Talbot Street, lovely red braiding around. And we used to sit there after a bath on Saturday and look up at the radio. We used to watch the radio.
I know. And it was very popular, wasn't it, way back in the time when there'd be comedy shows like Bing Crosby and so on in America.
Yeah, and then Dear Sir and Madam.
But it's extraordinary. Like, we were, I suppose, middle class, and I don't know of anybody else. I never admitted it before this. I mean, it's just extraordinary.
And the other, when we rented it, we rented a telly, but you never owned a telly at the end of it.
Yes, we rented the television for years.
And if you stop paying the weekly rent, the telly, the little telly rents van or the RTV rental van, the telly rents van with the white or black stripes and red stripes would arrive up and confiscate the telly.
Yeah. That's extraordinary. Well, that never happened, I suppose.
I know, but it happened on a regular basis, I can tell you. Okay, you have a radio now, have you, obviously?
I'm thinking
of getting
one now.
Or do you have Alexa or whatever, yeah?
I'm saving up to buy one
now.
Okay.
Make sure you get
it. No, I'd just love to know if there's anybody else with
that
the radio.
That rented, basically you rented a radio.
Yes.
It's not the better way. You never owned it. You were renting a radio.
Yes.
Okay, Brendan. Thanks indeed. That's Brendan
not
Chapman.
At all. I'd love to hear if anybody else has it.
Okay. 51
Thanks,
Joe. Thank you, Brendan. 51 Marshall.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
As mentioning earlier, we were reading a story on the Tyrconnell Tribune, one of the great provincial papers in the country. There's so many of them. And it was about a mix-up and that a farmer, Anthony Murphy, in Donegal, in the Donegal Gaeltacht, he was in his yard about to deliver a calf, and this black van arrived in, and he said, I have the delivery of vaccines, COVID vaccines. He'd driven 3.5 hours over 300K from Dublin, and he said, these vaccines are for this address. And he said, but I'm a farmer. And after a while, he said, but this is the air code on the box of, it's more than a box of vaccine. But what Anthony wants to know now is, they eventually sorted out it was due in Donegal town, 70K from where Anthony was. But he saw a story that some vaccines had to be destroyed, and he was wondering, was it the ones that he accidentally delivered? And I mentioned the mix-up, but John Arnold, you contacted us about a mix-up you had in Lourdes. What happened to you, John?
It was December 2014. I usually go in the summertime with the time pilgrimage. We haven't been there last year, this year obviously. But I started a habit of going on my own for a week in December.
Okay.
And in December 2014, I was there of a Friday. I was there for a few days. And of a Friday morning, I was just up at the top of the town, at the municipal square, and I was crossing it, going to the post office. And I saw a fellow with two boxes of Doves. And I was going back, I said to him, and I said, there was public address system set up, and I wouldn't have great French now, and he hadn't great English, but he pointed out to me where I was. There was a memorial there, a war memorial for the French-Algerian war. I think it was fought between 52 and 56. And anyhow, I gathered that there was going to be a bit of a commemoration there in the minute at 12 o'clock, and this was 10 to 12. So I went around, and the crowd gathered. There wasn't a huge crowd. The deputy mayor, she was there, and there was 3 or 4 veterans of the war. They were men in their 70s or 80s.
Okay.
There was about 20 people there total, I suppose, 20 or 30. So I said I'd wait for the ceremony, and ceremony was simple. The deputy mayor made a speech in French. I could pick up a few words. And then the veterans took the laurel wreaths and they placed them on at the memorial to their fallen comrades. And we had a minute's silence. And then everybody clapped. And then in French custom, everybody shook hands and kissed cheeks with each other.
I
was there. So I just shook hands with the deputy mayor, and I said, you know, in my French, I said, je suis Jean-Arnold, je travaille avec Irlande. And immediately, she kind of taught him, she went, oh, Jesus, this is Jean-Arnold, the international ambassador after traveling from France. And what did she do? And she started introducing me to all the veterans, and they were all kissing my cheeks, and the next thing, I had two reporters alongside me with notebooks. Now, I wouldn't have great French, and I was afraid of my life.
So you were the Irish ambassador at that ceremony?
I was wearing a cap this morning with a green, white, and gold ribbon, and they were all pointing to the green, white, and gold ribbon. And I thought straight away, gee, because I'm going to be asked to say something now, a few words on behalf of the Irish government. So, but I was ready, Joe. I was ready. I hadn't great French, but I knew what I'd say.
Go on. What did you say?
I was ready to say it. Like, I thought they were kind of going to ask me, so I was going to say, to Anahas or Curtinshaw Glocker, and 3 cheers for the Lord's team. And, you know, but look, you know, if I didn't. And they said, come, allez-vous. And we were all taken into a kind of a restaurant, and we had tapas, and they had white wine and red wine and blue wine and coffee, and I wouldn't ask to make any speech actually, but you know, it's just amazing. I was in the right place at the wrong time, so I suppose I kind of looked Irish with my bald head and foxy hair and green, white and gold ribbon. So they thought I was the international ambassador, but some mix-ups like that do happen from time to time, you know.
And remember the Algerian War, well, it's the Algerian War of Independence. is seared. That was a, it was a horrific war, the French against the locals.
Yeah.
It still sears into the heart of the French psyche that the humiliation they suffered.
I have a habit, Joe. That was 2014. I have a habit of getting things mixed up. There was another small story happening on my 60th birthday. I was 60 there 4 years ago. And I don't know whether... Yeah, actually, amazingly, Joe, the ad was running there a while ago, and your ad's there. When you're 60 now, all men are 60, are offered the free bowel screening test, you know, to test in case you have cancer, you know, every minute. And in fairness, I think I was saying it to my wife, and about 4 days after my 60th birthday, the kit arrived in the post, just a small kit. You take a sample of your sample and you put it into a little sealed bottle and you send it back. And it was about 4 days after my birthday and the table was full of stuff and everything. So Mary said, look, the best thing to do is strike while the iron is hot. So I took out the little kit. The postman was just after coming. We were going to the Fermi to do some posting that day. So I went upstairs and with the little sample bottle, and I sat in the toilet and I got the little sample, as you should do. And then we were, as I said, we were going to Fermi to the post later on in the year. So we said we'd post it straight away, free post and all that. Anyhow, and that was fine. And about 2 days later, Mary came downstairs one morning and she was ashen-faced. And in her hand, she had the little specimen bottle, which I had left up in the back of the toilet.
And what did you post to the bowel screening organisation?
Yeah, I just after my 60th birthday party, and for my 60th birthday, I got a lot of prize bands and everything, and I got a lot of scratch cards. And at the time, there was a thing with Matt the Wheel and Spin the Wheel. If you collected four S-P-I-N, and I had the four of them.
But what did you get back? What did you get back from the bowel cancer screening group? Really important.
They just said, dear Mr. Arnold, the sample you sent was insufficient. Please send another.
You sent them scratch cards.
Yeah, I did, yeah. But,
Joe, I'm more interested in this line in your call. I saw a kangaroo on the farm.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm 64 now. When I was about 8 or 9, we used to have sheep in the farm when I was young. We had them for years and years. And when I was about 7, maybe 7 or 8, one of the jobs I used to love to do before I got to school in the morning, I'd go up to the field, Little Erden Gate field, so just above the Ballyhouse field, that's here outside me, and to check would be any sheep after lambing. And I went up one morning, it was around this time of the year, and above amongst the sheep and the lambs was a kangaroo. Yeah. Yeah.
And where was the kangaroo from?
Says, I don't know where the kangaroo come from.
Well, hang on, where did Skippy go?
Oh, I could show you now. There's actually a small little gap in the ditch. There's a white thorn bush.
Yeah, but did anyone ever see the kangaroo?
Well, no, I came down and I told Mam and I told the rest of the family and Paddy, the man that was working here, and they all went up. But when they went up to the field, the kangaroo had disappeared. But Joe, I swear now, I'm not making up, because I've told my children and my grandchildren, I could show you the spot, and it wasn't a hare, it wasn't a rabbit, it wasn't a lamb dressed in fur or a fox or anything. It was a kangaroo, and he went up over the ditch. I swear it, Joe.
Where are you? You're in Cork, aren't you?
Yeah.
And would it have come from Fota?
No, photo wasn't open at all. It was not, okay. About 67 or 68. No, it was a kangaroo. And another time, Joe, in the river below us here, I saw a fish walking in the water, a fish with two small legs, a small fish about 8 inches tall, walking in the water down the little river below near Tom Ryan's Bridge near the Knapog.
Oh, now, hang on, John. April Fool's Day was 23
No.
You saw a fish walking, you saw a kangaroo.
Yeah.
And did anyone else ever see the kangaroo? Was there ever word of it?
No, not that day. There wasn't any. But he did, Joe. Like, I swear, he went up over the ridge.
The fish. Go ahead. The fungi. The fish walking on water.
Well, he was about 8 inches tall. It was like a cross between a trout and a salmon, and he had two small little legs. And we just crossed the river below there. There was a kind of a little fork crossing the river across. And one morning, I was just crossing the river. You could cross in your shoes or Wellington. And I saw the fish walk along the surface of the water. And he kind of looked at me, and I looked at him, and then he dived under the water and went away. Yeah. I hadn't great eyesight. I haven't great eyesight in one eye, but the other eye is perfect. So it wasn't that I was looking at mirages or anything. No, honestly, I saw him there. I could show you the spot. Well, no, the river would be different. The water,
but
there's
seeing,
a lot of water.
But hang on, seeing a fish. Well, that's where we come from. If we go back and you go back in single cell and all that carry on.
Evolution,
But Is there any old wives' tales, as they say, or stories associated with anyone who sees a fish walking on water? You know what I mean? They say it's good luck, or you'll win the lotto,
I went to a fortune teller one time, and I just said I had seen a kangaroo and I had seen a fish walk in water, and I just said, what did it mean? And she said, I don't know what that means, she said, but there's very few believe me, she said, but you're just true, like, you might laugh about it, and but it's true. I know you're not doubting me, you're not a doubting Thomas or a doubting Joe. No, I said, and as long as I live, I've shown my children and my grandchildren, and some of them are skeptical enough, and my eyesight wasn't great when I was born, but I got a cure for my eyesight here at the local Wiltshire, thanks be to God, I was cured years and years ago, so I mean, it wasn't bad
eyesight. What's all the noises in the background? Bored? Is it crows?
Oh, they're crows. Yeah, we have a rookery here in the Haggard. Yeah, there's about 40 trees, so you'd have thought maybe 200 nests.
Sounds like you're in an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Yeah, so and the strange will come in sometimes, John.
And what's it like on the farm today, John?
That is idyllic now, Joe, at the moment.
Now that you don't include the phantom kangaroo and the walking fish, but describe it to me there, us city folk. Today
we were up at 7 o'clock in the morning, got in the cows and milked them. It's just lovely this time of the year, milking the cows. The cows walking slowly, chewing the cud, you milk them, you feed the calves, they're back out grazing the grass now. Grass is growing, crops are growing. We were putting out lime yesterday, flowers are growing. I was planting oak trees last week. I just planted 50 or 60 oak trees and replacing some. The weather is fine. Now it's a bit nippy these days, but the countryside now is just actually in bloom. Here in front of me now on the lawn, it's full of dandelions and daisies. Mary cut them yesterday, but they're up again. You know, all the countryside. The countryside is beautiful now with yellow
colours.
The countryside is most beautiful now with yellow fur. Some people call it gorse. I mean, it's all over, and the beaches all over the country. It's a beautiful, deep, kind of a yellow, orangey colour. These are idyllic times. The days are getting longer. Animals are satisfied. Humans are satisfied. And, like, we're getting closer. I registered this morning for the vaccine because I'm 64. So hopefully we'll get that next week. It's like the winter is a tough time in the farm, but this time of the year is just a beautiful time. The weather is warm. You can be out by night, out by day. And the great variety in farming this time of the year. You know, I was out in the field yesterday with the fencing and I saw three rabbits and two foxes. You're not doubting them now at all, and yes, you're not. And no 2 days are the same, like, you know.
God, many shades of green can you see from where you're standing?
Johnny Cash would say 40, there's way more than 40, Joe, because there's some dark green levels here, there's nettles, there's grass, there's different plants growing around. Oh, there's, I suppose, 50 or 60 different shades of green. And, you know, those shades of green change. If you were on... come here now in May, those shades of green, some of the lights and dark, you know, they change the same as the mood changes and the sky changes.
So what's the rest of your farming day now, John, you and Mary?
The rest of the farming day now is I was doing a bit of fencing now, and we'll bring in the cows about 4:30, 5:30 feed them. We've only a small herd of cows here, less than 50 cows. We'll milk them, that takes about an hour. We feed calves, we must put in a few bales of silage for cattle. We'll be finished maybe at about 7 o'clock, and now that the lockdown is gone, we might go for a spin. Today is today is an unusual day for me, because this day last year my mother-in-law got wrestler died, we remember she was a great woman. She was 97. That's the kind of a sad day. We were at the grave for Simone, but we're smiling as well. And we've got children because we have great, great memories of her.
You'll go. And are the cattle out this time of year now? Are they out?
Yeah. They're all out. We've just a couple of cows and calves yet there inside, and a couple of weanlings. They're still being fed in silage. But from now for the next 6 to 8 weeks is the peak grass growing period of the year.
Beautiful.
Field for hay and silage, and you know, everything is just lovely. Farming is tough, but at the time of the year, it's a beautiful occupation, and we're lucky here. We live in a beautiful countryside. So look, the whole country is beautiful at the moment.
You have walking fish and jumping kangaroos. You have everything, but I know it's a lovely. John, that was a beautiful description. That was a beautiful description. Yeah. I really, I thank you sincerely for that. I say you've lifted a lot of people. Go safely now, John, won't you, on the farm, and enjoy the rest of the day. And then enjoy your little rest when you eventually get it. And by the way, you'll work tomorrow and you'll work Sunday, because the cattle have to be milked every day. Okay. Good to meet you, John.
Okay.
Slán go fóill.
Good talk.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Just to finish up on something we've been doing during the week, the memorial wall in Glasnevin Cemetery. As you know, tomorrow is the 105th anniversary of the Easter Rising, and as I've said before, the only place in the country where the civilian names, there was over about 500 people killed and more than half of them were civilians, and the memorial wall in Glasnevin, which was absolutely beautiful, has been covered in black plastic bin liners, for want of a better description, for well over a year now. But the board of Dublin Cemeteries, that's Glasnevin, following a number of acts of vandalism, but that was 14 months ago, have caused significant damage to the necrology wall, within, which is terrible, in the grounds of Glasnevin Cemetery. They've taken a decision to pause proceedings with further inscriptions on the wall while it reviews the wall's long-term safety implications, which is a terrible, terrible pity if that wall disappears. Okay, today's series producer is Rebecca Meehan, as always. She's in the studio today. Mark McGrath, Sam Maid Moon, the BCO, and Eve Dunne Research. And Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.